Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
Welcome to Agent's Dossier. My name is Wes Otis. I am the keeper for this particular game, and I have some wonderful players. Let's start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle Otis, and I am playing Yesenia Alvarez, a operative in Army Intelligence. Yeah, she's going to be fun.
Hello, I'm Saint, or Saint Spider, and I am playing our very reserved. He's reserved because he used to work for the NSA, and that doesn't make a lot of friends. So, you know, maybe he'll be opening up this year.
Hi, I'm Pooja, and I'm playing Robin Porter, a physician who's thinking about taking down the machine from within.
So, just so everyone who's listening knows, this is the first case that we're doing after our initial one, which was the first 18 episodes of Agent's Dossier. So, episodes 1 through 18 is one huge case that you can go and listen to if you have not. This is in the future, probably, you know, 4 to 6 months after Charlottesville, everything there happened. The agents that will be on this show, most of them have been involved except for Perla, who retired, and I forget Mac's character's name. I want to say Desiree or something. So those two characters got switched out. But we'll be moving forward with these characters and doing smaller cases. So what that means is we'll be doing 2 to 4 episodes per case instead of one really long overarching kind of situation. As I said, you all have worked together. You all know each other. You've trained together. It's been about 4 months. It is winter time, probably mid-November. You have not been on a case since Charlottesville, and you've been able to relax and recuperate and kind of find your center again, as it were. Norman, your situation at work has become a little precarious. Many questions have been asked about use of people and resources in the escapades that happened in Charlottesville. So you got a raise and you got a promotion within NSA, and that puts you on the same level of your building as your superior. So you're literally 3 or 4 doors away from your boss. And this kind of gives you an idea of how close they want to make sure they keep an eye on you. Your handlers now, the renegade version of Delta Green, have not reached out in a while, but Norman, you're sitting at work and a envelope is put on your desk and it just says your name, Norman, no last name, and it has a little stamp on the bottom of it.
Well, it's already very dramatic. I pick it up because I'm gonna trust that I can at least handle this without it blowing up or anything goofy like that this early story. Is there anything interesting about the envelope?
Not really. In fact, it's uninteresting as to make sure no one takes a second look at it, you figure.
All right. And is my name handwritten or is it like a label?
It's handwritten.
Interesting. All right. I'll look at that later. All right, I'm going to open it up and see what's inside, cautiously.
There's a small post-it note on the first page that says, Norman, we can send you mail anywhere without anyone knowing. And then it just says Agent L on it. It seems to be a file full, or a dossier as it were, full of information about 3 murders or strange deaths, actually, would be the better way to put it, that happened in Telldale, Idaho. And they want you to contact the other two in your group, and they want you to go out there and do some investigation. The file says that the coroner, who is a friendly. So for the audience, a friendly is someone in Delta Green who is not an actual agent, but who knows of Delta Green and who helps Delta Green. So these are usually in the media or coroners or whatever. In this case, it's a coroner who let them know that there was something amiss about these particular deaths. And his name is Jake Halvin. They don't have any pictures or anything like that, but nothing's been redacted from the report or anything. They want you to make contact with Jake and see what's going on in the city. It's a smaller town, probably 75 to 100,000 people altogether. So, you know, not minuscule like Edna Bay was, but still not at the size of like Charlottesville or whatever. Right then, you see your boss leaving her room and coming down the hallway towards your door.
All right. I'm definitely going to just slip this note in whatever the nearest flat drawer is and could definitely conceal that. She cannot see that.
Okay, cool. So she walks in and she goes, "We never had an opportunity to really talk about what happened in Charlottesville. You've given us some information about the FBI looking into a piece of information that we had intercepted. And I've talked with my superiors, and we're a little concerned about sharing information that hasn't been vetted yet by the higher ranking people in the organization. In the future, if there is a piece of information that comes across your desk that you feel another organization needs to know about, we," and she thinks about her words for a second and she goes, "we request that you report it to us first so we can make our own determination before said information is passed on."
Of course. Very reasonable request.
Good.
Anything else?
That's all for now. Thank you. So then she just walks out. What do you want to do? You have this dossier now. Oh, it also comes with 3 tickets and a hotel in the city where you're going to be at. So they did give you places to stay and ways to get there.
Okay. I'm going to look at the dates at those things. If I'm certain that my boss is not going to come back with some thing, she's not waiting at the door or anything like that.
No, she's gone.
Okay, because she's done that before. She's fully embraced the creepiness of our whole organization. It's a little annoying.
Yeah. She's got a green tint to her skin because of the lights.
It's just so on the nose. yeah, I want to check the dates on these items. Is this like, hey, you're going tomorrow? Or is it there's some time to plan here?
So you've got 2 days, actually, until you fly out. They have you flying out Friday night because over the weekend, it's a lot easier for the coroner to get you in there and because there's not as much hustle and bustle. So, yeah, you're flying out Friday night. And the corpses were found Sunday afternoon by police after the 3 people were reported missing. So the 3 people are Elliot Russell and James Wright. They are brothers, and they all have the same ages, so they are triplets.
Very interesting. And what is there any info about, okay, what made this odd? What's up with the injuries?
That's the one thing they don't go into. They say James will show corpses and go over everything, but for some reason they left that information out, which you're guessing is their way to try to shield, you know, leaving a paper trail is bad enough, but putting in details about why something is weird is something that Delta Green tends to avoid if they can.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. You never know who's going to just literally open an envelope that isn't even special, just literally a normal envelope. What if somebody else was in here? I was curious. I guess I'll take that up with them. Well, at this point, if we've got most of the information, I figure, well, I mean, it's time to round up the crew. If there's nothing pressing that I have to do in the office, then I'm just going to very casually head out, not even say bye to anybody.
Okay.
Cool.
You head out. Where would you all like to meet up? Is there a specific place you think that you frequent when you're like a diner or a coffee shop, or do you go to one of your homes or what?
Probably a public place. This is all of us deciding, right? Or should I just decide? Okay.
All of you can decide. You can talk.
Yeah, I think a public place makes sense.
Yeah, a public place makes sense because any one of our places could be bugged.
Right.
And probably is.
Probably are. Yeah. We habitually are debugging, probably.
You just find bugs in, like, the refrigerator.
It's like, well, at least they're getting creative.
It's like open up the freezer. It's like, fuck you, NSA Brad. I just want some ice cream.
There's just a note. It says, stop eating so much with the bug.
Jerk.
Rude.
Asshole bugs.
That would be. But yeah, public place. Should we go for a place that's like maybe not an eatery because we've done that, but also there are many eateries? Honestly, I'm 50-50.
I'm good on a diner or something.
I think I like the diner vibe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
I feel like coffee shop, we probably we shouldn't do.
We've done the coffee shop and the bar.
Yeah.
The bar a lot.
Yeah. You aren't vampires, so.
Not yet. Well, yeah, let's do a nice little diner. I think of a name.
How about Daniel's Diner? Okay. Just something. Just
Danny's.
There you go.
Which looks exactly like Denny's, but just a little off.
Just that's enough good. Not to get sued.
Not to get sued.
Yes.
Like tummies.
Tummies, exactly.
Yeah, there's a place in North Hollywood, or I don't know if it's still there, but there was a place in North Hollywood called Tummies instead of Tommies.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. Was the food good?
No. It was no Tommies.
Instead of the Grand Slam, they just have the home run.
They just have a double.
Exactly. All right, you all meet together. I'll give you some of the other tidbits that are in this file so that you know. So it mentioned that the deaths seemed strange. They said that it happened in the nearby forest, that the three brothers went out on a fishing hunting weekend, which they do often, and didn't come back at the time that they were supposed to. So the local authorities searched and quickly found their corpses. It is said that the person who found them, her name's Sheila Mayfield. Sheila found the corpses Sunday at about 6 at night. And of course, by that point, they were calling off the search because it was getting dark. It also says that the brothers work at a lumber yard that their father owns. It's a family business. It's been there for a while. And that's about it. And they say that Jake is going to have more information for you, and you'll be able to take a look at the bodies when you get there.
Okay.
What's the name of the town again in Idaho?
Tell Dale. So Telldale. Yeah.
Ooh. And what state was it in?
Idaho.
You're supposed to say Idaho.
Shut up. Boo. Oh, why, did I ever leave Ohio? Yeah, so that's the information that you have. So you guys eat, you talk with each other about this whole situation. Is there anything in particular you'd like to talk about or things you'd like to do before we fast forward to getting to Telldale? Do you all want to jump forward, or is there anything you guys want to talk about before we move?
No, I don't think I have anything. Yeah, no, I think so.
So you all head out to Telldale, and you notice that Idaho is a lot colder than Virginia. There's a lot more snow on the ground. You're met at the airport by Jake. I'm going to say older gentleman, probably in his 60s, bald. He's got pretty pale skin. And from the sides of his hair that haven't gone white, you can tell he was a redhead at one point. But age has basically taken away a full head of red hair. And he's got green eyes. And he says, welcome to Telldale. thank you so much for coming out here. I know it's a long trip, especially on the, because it's a small airport that they have in town. So you guys had to like get on a little like Cessna for the last leg of the trip. And he's like, I really appreciate you coming out here. If you're not too tired, I can take you directly over to the morgue and we can take a look at what's going on.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. Any chance you have an extra pair of long johns somewhere?
Well, there's a Target in town. We can go by there real quick if you guys need more stuff. So he swings you by Target. You guys pick up some stuff and then he takes you over to the morgue. And he said, so they found the body Sunday around 6 o'clock at night. The boys had left at 4 o'clock on Friday. They go out on these trips all the time. No one thought anything of it. But when they didn't come back at the designated time, their parents reached out to local law enforcement. So they started searching for them. 2 hours after the search began, Sheila found them. Officer Sheila found them. Their bodies were arranged around a large tree about a mile into the forest. The best way to show you is just to show you. He pulls out the three trays that Elliot, Russell, and James are on. And he pulls back the sheet on each of them. And they are all in perfect condition. There doesn't seem to be any decay at all. But their body parts are detached. Wherever there is a joint, their arms aren't attached. Their elbow, their top arm to their lower arm is detached. Their hands are detached, but everything's in perfect condition. It almost looks gelatin. There's still blood in the veins. It just is kind of frozen there in this strange way. And their neck is detached, so their head is detached from their neck. Now, it doesn't detach all the way down the vertebrae. It just detaches at the top of the neck. The arms, the legs, and the hands, and the feet are all perfectly detached right there. There doesn't seem to be any tool markings, no cuts, nothing. It's like they just fell apart.
So like fell apart. Yeah, so if it's, is it like a clean, clean slice, basically, but where like it's not an...
Right. If you take a skeleton's bone and pop out the joint on the shoulder, it looks like that.
Okay, so like the shoulder bone is sticking out of the unit of the arm, that's the upper arm. Like
a doll figure. Or an action figure.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. So it's all like cut, though. It's not like the skin isn't... It's not like one unit of skin grown over the arm.
No. Like, where the skin, like the skin is, it doesn't look like it's cut by anything. It's perfect around the sides, but it stops. And then you see muscle and you see veins, and inside the veins, you see blood and you see everything. It's not like draining out. It just seems to be caught in suspended animation.
So there was no blood at the scene?
Yeah, he goes, well, so what I was told was when they found the bodies, they packed them up, they took pictures, but I haven't seen the pictures, but I asked and there was no blood at the scene and all of these bodies are complete, meaning they're still full of blood. They still have all, there's been no decay at all. And that's why I reached out to Delta Green because it was... just so weird.
How were the bodies arranged?
I don't know. And the police are kind of keeping things hush-hush. So it's a small precinct. There's only one building. Though we have 7,500 people, we don't have a ton of crime, so there's not a big police force out here, really. But if you want that kind of information, you're going to have to find a way into their building to see it. Like, I think their newest computers from like 1997 or something, still when running Windows, you know, XP, not modern.
Well, let me take a look at these bodies, see if I can catch anything that they might have missed.
Sure. Give me, I guess, a medical roll.
Yeah, I rolled a one.
Wow.
First roll of the game.
Yeah.
All the luck went into it.
Yeah. Sure enough, you're looking at it, and it's as it does look like a form of suspended animation. It is as if they just stopped existing in time and were taken apart. If you squeeze on the muscles at all, they bulge a little bit, like the blood will kind of come out of the veins a little bit, but then go back in. Nothing seems to want to leave the body. And as you're looking through it, you notice that within the eyes and everything else, it's almost like they're staring at you. When you're looking at a normal dead person, there's no spark there. Does that make sense? These brothers seem to still be watching what's going on, even though their eyes aren't moving.
Okay. Well, we'll do what we can. Like, and I just, like, that's, I whisper, you know, as I close their eyes, because that's creepy. And I just, no, I don't need this amount of creepy first thing. So I'm just going to, you know, whisper it to them. And it's like, we'll do what we can.
In a hushed tone, you hear, please.
Is there something going on besides frozen blood?
That snaps me out of some flashbacks of, like, me seeing Neha slash the other agent slash whatever the fault they turned into, and her saying, like, please to let me die. And then I just kind of, like, startle.
Give me a resolve roll, though.
That's a good resolve.
Yes. I can't imagine why I would need to make a resolve roll at that point. Well, it's cool because I got a 19.
Okay, so you're fine.
I wouldn't call it fine. I wouldn't call
shaken
it fine.
Yeah. Not shaken, but not stirred.
True.
You are unhappy.
And so you see me kind of like snap out of, I'm not sure how to say this exactly, but they're not actually dead all the way. They're not all the way dead.
Okay. They don't have a heartbeat, no blood moving.
I mean, I feel like maybe if we talk about this somewhere where they can't hear us, like, it just seems rude. It seems rude.
Jake has a really weird look on his face, but he goes, all right. And he puts the drawers closed again. Let's go upstairs then. And he takes you to an office. He says, you don't think they're dead?
Well, besides the fact that they were watching me work on them, when I told them, you know, you reassure bodies all the time that we'll do what we can. And one of them asked me, please.
That is disconcerting.
Should we take them out of the fridge then?
Probably not. I don't think that's actually going to do any good. Whatever happened to them is keeping them in stasis, is I think the best way to put it. You saw me. I touched them. I squeezed one of the limbs. Everything that is in them is staying in them, and it's held in there somehow. And I think that's the same thing that's keeping them connected to their bodies, their consciousness, their soul, if you will.
Okay. That's truly more nightmarish than things we've already experienced somehow. So that's incredible. That reminds me of that Stephen King story with the snake bite. But this can't possibly be a snake bite. I realize that.
The coroner goes, there's no marks on the bodies anywhere. There's no cut marks, no injection marks, no nothing. Now, I was told that they were found completely naked in the snow, but their body temperature, including their surface temperature, was above what was outside. They actually melted the snow around them a little bit because their skin was at, I think it was 80 degrees or something, 75 degrees, like they had been out in the sun or something during a summer day.
Yeah, are they still warm?
Yeah, they felt warm to the touch, but not like hot.
But they definitely shouldn't be. They've been kept in a refrigerated unit in the morgue for several days.
Yes.
Were the clothes found?
Their belongings were found at the campsite, which was about 4 miles from the tree that they were found around.
Hmm.
And I guess, is there any kind of local legends or stuff known about this tree?
Not in particular, no. It's just a large tree out there that they found them around. But like I said, I don't have a lot of information on the actual site because the police seem to want to just kind of push this under the rug as much as possible. The parents are very distraught, and obviously they want some kind of closure. I don't think the police really know how to handle this.
Okay. I'm kind of feeling, and I'm looking towards my compatriots, that we need to check in with the cops and perhaps, I'm looking back at Coroner Jake here, maybe we shouldn't do any more dismemberment of them, or...
They came in that way.
Right. Well, we'll just leave them. Like, and if someone wants to move them, is there a way you can let us know before that happens?
I will.
Okay.
And, I mean, Norman, seeing as the cops probably aren't going to be super keen to hand over information to us.
Indeed. Since they have what I heard was, I believe, Windows XP, I suspect they got to be connected to the internet. If they're not, we got to do a local hack to be dramatic.
Jake definitely tells you that the files are all written out and probably in a locked filing cabinet in the police station.
I was getting that vibe.
Yeah.
I'm horrified.
We're going to have to heist it, I believe, unfortunately.
Not a heist movie.
Perhaps one of us can sweet talk our way in to glancing at some files. Sweet talk? Who's got... I'm trying to... Yeah.
I can flash a SOCOM badge and ask for the info.
Yes, because none of my badges are going to get taken seriously out here. And I don't have as much charisma as you two wonderful friends of mine. Right? We're friends?
Yeah, you're friends.
Okay, cool.
All right, so is that how you want to approach this? You want to send one of you going in and... Michelle, say your name again. Yesenia, you want to send Yesenia in?
Yeah.
Are you feeling confident, Yesenia?
Sure. I could flash a badge.
Yeah. And then, you know, just grab the file and then we'll look at it. We'll see what the situation is. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Norman is official-ish.
Ish.
I mean, you know what? I think I just have like PTSD about people going in places by themselves, but...
Oh, fair.
I think we're more talking about walking up to the front desk and saying, hey, here's my badge. I need to see this information, as opposed to sneaking in and stealing.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So, yeah, because I don't have any skills for any of that, unfortunately.
Yeah. You're more of a computer person.
Yeah, this analog stuff has actually handicapped me. So I will have to, I think, just stand outside and make sure everybody's out. I'm looking, I'm like, okay, maybe I can come in. Nah, I think I gotta help you by cheerleading.
Maybe you could be like trying to hack while I'm in there or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I would have to get into their network. And it seems like their network is probably all insular. Yeah, so we probably would have to, like, at least get a password or something from inside. That's the vibe I'm getting.
That's the vibe you're getting, yeah.
The vibe I'm getting is that the password is password.
It probably is.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
7.
Yes.
The password is mother's maiden name.
When do you want to go into the police station?
What time is it?
It's probably, I'm going to say like 6 in the afternoon or so.
It'd probably be better to go in the evening rather than during the day when they would have more people there. Because whoever's stuck there at night is probably going to be lower ranking and a little more intimidated by a badge.
I think that's brilliant.
Yep. Agree 100%.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Okay.
I guess I'll stay in the car.
Okay.
You guys.
I thought you were going to go in with her.
No, I can't. Well, I can't do anything, right?
You guys can all go in, and one of you flashes a badge while the other two stand there and look official.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, if we think that's helpful, yeah. I guess if there's an emergency, so I'm just thinking, like, what will I help with? Again, it's just computers, so...
Yeah, well, like I said, it's more about the look than it is about, you know, anything else. So you guys can all go in. It's not that big of a deal. It's fine.
We'll just keep our trap shut.
Yeah.
And let Yesenia do the talking.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
What I need to do is I need to make a NPC with the last name Sam that you can have a relationship with Michelle.
Yesenia Sam. Yesenia Sam. Lord. Boo.
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
Please no.
That was worse than Idaho.
Thank you.
Especially because you went like so far to explain it.
Anyway, you know, dad jokes is all I have anymore. So all three of you go into this place, the police station. There's three officers there. One of them is up front at the desk, and the other two are in the back, you know, going over paperwork or whatever. Hello, how can I help you?
Hello, who's the officer on duty this evening?
Me?
So you're the officer in charge for the evening?
Yeah.
How do you do? My name is Agent Alvarez. I'm with SOCOM, and I show him my badge.
SOCOM? You're a long way from home.
Yes, sir, I am. I am here because of an incident that occurred recently regarding three bodies that were found, and I wanted to see what you had on the case so far.
Oh, okay. One second. And you see him walk back to one of the other officers, and he says something to them, kind of, you know, bends down and says something into the ear. And the other, they both kind of look at all of you at the same time and then look back at each other. And then he goes and he opens up a filing cabinet and pulls out some information to make alertness rolls.
And I have regrets.
I got a 64 under my 6.
Wow.
Ugh, I got a
over my 60.
Oh, yeah, over is bad, right? Yeah, I got a 76 over my 20.
I got an 88 over my 30. At least I get to check it.
You are not alert.
I'm tired. It's been a long day.
You all get to check it.
Oy.
All right, so he comes back a few moments later and hands you a folder, and it is oddly missing pictures. There are no crime scene photos.
And I'm thumbing through it, and I go, were there no crime scene photos taken?
No, ma'am. Unfortunately, our photographer was not available, and I'm not sure why, but they decided just to not take pictures.
Even though that's standard operating procedure, you decided not to take pictures.
I personally made no decision at all, but our chief did.
I find that very difficult to believe. Even if a photographer is not available, everyone nowadays has a cell phone in their pocket, which could be used for official business if you do not have the equipment available.
Can you give me a bureaucracy roll?
Oh, my bureaucracy is low.
Mine is 60.
Nice.
Oh, now you want to roll.
Well, I've been like, can I help at all? I don't think I can. I got no...
Apparently, you absolutely can.
I would say jump in.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me a bureaucracy roll.
All right. Yeah, let's see if I can do this. Woo! On my little baby mat. Okay, that is a 15 under my 60. So this is... I'll just be like, can I see if it's written, the name of somebody's boss, written on a wall or something?
You mean the name of the chief?
Yeah. I guess that would be the... How do police work?
Chief Gooden.
Chief Gooden. Okay. Gosh, I was hoping they were like a little lower so I can just make it seem like I can talk to somebody else talking to Chief Gooden.
There's not many people. I mean, there's the day shift and the night shift, literally.
And then their boss.
And their boss is during the day with another like 7 people altogether. So there's literally like 10 cops altogether in this whole town. It's not a lot. There should be more for a town of 7,500. Seems a bit low. Like I said, it's not as big as Charlotte, but it's still a decent sized town.
Ah, yes. Well, I guess for the bureaucracy role, I'll just be like, well, you know, we can actually get a whole team of auditors down here and check through all of the cases that you have not been taking photos for. Unfortunately, that is not how justice is done. That is not how anyone at SOCOM is going to allow any affiliates to act, because you bringing that down, you bringing that quality down to that level, that affects all of us. That affects the goddamn nation, okay?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry that no pictures were taken, but unfortunately, the best I could do is give you directions out to the site if you wanted to look at it.
I don't get any hint that he's lying at all.
He seems like he has the information that he has, you know? Now, if you wanted to make him call his chief...
We would like to speak to his manager, please.
Okay.
Exactly.
Basically, yeah.
So he calls up Gudin and, you know, says, hey, we have people here from these blah, blah, blah. And about 5 or 10 minutes later, the chief shows up. It's this young guy, probably mid-30s, well-built, not what you were expecting. He doesn't look like your typical town sheriff kind of thing. So I hear you're here on the case of the 3 missing boys, the Wright boys. What does SOCOM have to do with any of this?
I'm afraid that's classified.
Okay. We didn't take pictures because the site, like, it just wouldn't have been right to take pictures of what was there. That's all I'm saying. Now, I will be glad to take you out there if you want to take a look around. But as for going through our other cases, our jaywalking cases and our speeding ticket cases and all that are up to snuff. So I don't think you're going to find anything in there to rattle our cages.
Well, before we go anywhere, I do believe, I'm looking to my friends here, that we do want to check out the site. How are you keeping control of a town? Just the numbers here. Seems like we got a low officer ratio happening.
People here are good people. Mm. They don't cause problems.
Interesting.
They go to their work. They pay their bills. No problems.
Hmm. No problems.
That seemed like a lie. Just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, except for the dead triplets under the tree.
Dead triplets under the tree. There's a tongue twister.
I mean, dismembered triplet.
Dismembered.
Because they're not quite dead yet.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Yeah, just that. Okay, yeah. But anyway, that was internal, of course. Outwardly, I just give him a look like, all right, you liar. You big, fat liar. Actually, very fit young liar, apparently, surprisingly.
Do you all want to go out there now, or can I get a decent night's sleep before I show a bunch of out-of-towners the forest?
And let yet another night go by without adequately documenting the scene.
You're right on that. If you want to go out there, we can. I'm sure a set of fresh eyes on the situation will make it all that much better. Do you want to follow me in your car, or do you want to drive in mine?
I guess we'd follow, right? Because we can't. Would we all fit? Oh, we would. There's only
3 of you.
How are we feeling, gang?
I'd say we follow.
Yeah.
All right. It'd be wacky if he tries to lose us, but it is occurring to me.
We know where he works.
It's true.
It is, and true. Probably you could easily find out where he lives.
It's true.
Which is good, so creepy. Good. So creepy.
But you're right. Let's do it. We'll follow you, Captain.
All right. So he takes you out and you start to follow behind him. He's driving this relatively new truck. You start going into the woods and it gets very dark very fast. The only thing you can see are your headlights and everything else is just black. And you see 2 sets of lights just turn on behind you, and the chief slams on his brakes real fast. Which one of you is driving?
We didn't say.
Okay, so one is Pooja, 2 is Michelle.
I am not driving. I would never be driving. I'm bad at driving.
Never.
I'm bad at driving too.
Oh, are we all bad at driving?
Does that mean we all base? Oh no, was
Michelle? You're driving.
Someone else our driver.
I'm driving.
Give me a roll.
22 over my 20.
Son of a bitch. Where are the luck points when you need them?
I don't believe you can spend luck that way in Delta Green.
I don't think it exists in Delta Green.
No, it doesn't. You hit the back of him. Everybody make a con check for me. So times your con by 5, and that'll give you a percentage, and just make a roll against that.
Yeah, I made it.
Yep, made it.
Okay, yes, I made it. Hooray.
All right, so you're all still conscious. None of you take any real damage, but you see several figures get out of the cars behind you. The chief gets out of his car and he's carrying a shotgun because you're caught between two cars. You can try and speed out, but you're afraid you're going to go straight in the ditch. Do you want to try to get out of there or do you just put your hands up?
I guess that's up to who's in the drive. That's up to you, Sen, right? If we drive.
But I'm a shitty driver.
Wait,
are we armed? I can't remember.
I mean,
no, we can't.
I'm
just
always
shoot.
Armed.
You're always armed. Five,
we can't
four,
just shoot people again, can we?
I mean, can
three,
we? Can we
die? Just drive into the ditch. Go. Go. They're going to kill us. It's
you have to make a decision.
What's happening?
Make a decision right now.
I thought this really wasn't
I try
happen.
And drive.
Give me a roll.
Nope, 35 over my 20.
And that's where we're going to stop this episode.
Oh my God.
Thank you all so much for listening. We will, well, come on, I can't give up a good cliffhanger. We will come back and find out what happens to our three agents. Will we have three new agents in the next time we get together for Delta Green? I don't know. My wife is flipping me off and I still am going to stop it here. Let's find out where all these wonderful people are. We'll start with Saint.
Hi, I'm Saint or Saint Spider. You can find me on Twitter and eventually again on Twitch. But here's my Twitter. It's at Saint Spider TV. That's SaintSpiderTV. I'm sorry, I'm overwhelmed.
Hey, I'm Michelle Otis, and you can find me on Twitter at Michulu. That's MICHULHU. And yeah, I don't think we're doing all the promos. Okay.
No, we're not. No, because these wonderful people are Patreon and coffee backers. So they know where we're at. Thank you so much. Pooja.
Hello, I am Pooja. You can find me on Twitter at LA Daisy Girl. That's LADESI Girl. Pretty much all the other socials is forgotten saves. And as I'm sure y'all already know, I am also playing TTRPGs on Happy Jacks RPG. It's Probably Okay's Twitch channel and Tutopia.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on Twitter. Thank you all so much for listening and being a part of our coffee and Patreon. We really appreciate it. And we will see you in a month.
Bye.